four thoughts: privilege, response, blessing, and hope. 7A, 7B, 7C, 7D. Our privilege, our response, our blessing, our hope. The world certainly does not know and realize the impending judgment upon planet Earth. Life goes on as usual. Eat, drink, and be merry. We have much goods laid up for the future. The world seems to feel very secure with their make-believe sense of prosperity. Never before has mankind lived with such prosperity, and it's been going on in the last 40 years. Dear friends, this is the deception today. This was the deception too in Noah's time. Just before the Lord brought a global flood that destroyed the whole world. The first thought is our privilege. Noah, our text tells us, being warned of God of things not seen. This first thought is the privilege of Noah. He was warned of God of the things not seen. God visited Noah with his sovereign grace. The Bible tells us that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God's favor came upon Noah. Noah was a passive party in his encounter with his Creator. He was being warned of God. We too, having the Word of God in our hands and having been open to the truth from the Word of God in the last 4 days, we also understand that there is an impending judgment coming. The living and true God, the Creator of heaven and earth, condescended Himself to reveal Himself to Noah. It was God who came to Noah. It is God who came to you, who invited you to come for this camp. It was God who made known His plans to Noah. God was gracious to Noah. And God is gracious to us. God chose Noah. God chose us. He was special in the eyes of God among the countless men living on planet Earth in the pre-flood world. And God chose us also in the more than 6 billion men and women in the world to have that privilege to come together to understand the truth concerning the future. God made known the future to Noah. God is going to send a tsunami that is so great that it would destroy the known world at that time. All the fountains of the great deep would be broken up and the windows of heaven would be open for the first time, never before. If the world had known that on the 26th of December 2004, there would be an undersea earthquake with a magnitude of 9.1 and 9.3. The largest earthquake ever reported, with an epicenter off the west coast of Sumatra, Indonesia. 225,000 people from 11 countries would not have perished from the tsunami that towered 100 feet high. I still remember when we have received news, we were calling the church in Colombo, in Sri Lanka, because we knew that the church was affected. Indeed, it was true. The preacher who was there was at the beach, and he saw the receding wave. Suddenly, everything was clear, and he thought something was amiss, and he started to move. And, you know, the church was, we saw the church before.
and the water came up, but it did not fill the church, right? Because it was quite inland. Was Noah any different from the people living in his world that God revealed the future to him? Noah too was a sinner. He also inherited the sinful nature from his forefather Adam. But the Bible says in Genesis chapter 6 verse 8 that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. How can man find grace, find favor in the sight of God? Is it by his determined effort or his merits that he find God? Can we, by searching, find God? Well, our text tells us that Noah was being warned of God. It is a significant statement here that underscores Noah's privilege, because he was a sinner like the rest of us, lost and undone. But God was gracious to him. God worked in his heart. He was saved the way we are saved, through the gospel. God was the main actor in this encounter that Noah had with God. God was with Noah, and God is with you too, revealing to you the truth concerning his second coming. The privilege was for Noah was that God came to him and God showed to him the truth, the judgment to come. And we must be thankful too that we have been chosen by him to be his people, a people of hope. And like Noah, we know the things to come. The world has no answer to what is happening. The world cannot explain why there is all this earthquake, why there is all these pestilences, why there is all this famine, why there is wars and rumors of war. But we know. Why is it that the world is moving towards same-sex marriage? We know. Are we not privileged that God has revealed his truth to us? Indeed, we are privileged to spend 4 days to have the Word of God given to us, open to us. We have been given the good doctrines from the Word of God. And we have been reminded in this camp again and again of the coming of the Lord, of the falling away of the church, at a time of apostasy and the ungodliness that is in the world. How are we to respond to this? Are we not privileged that God separated us from the world and separated us for service to a people sacred unto him? What are we going to do to face the challenges of our time? Noah, when he was confronted with the truth, he did something with his life. We know that the Lord is coming. How are you preparing for his coming? To be forewarned is to be forearmed. The Lord wants us to be prepared. And so, our text teaches us by a living example through Noah, a godly response. How did Noah responded when God came upon him with the truth? Well, our text tells us that he was moved with fear, and by faith he prepared an ark to the saving of his house. That is the second thought that God wants us to think about. What was Noah's response? The Bible says that he was moved with fear. Noah believed God. The fear of God was in his heart. This is a man who has encountered God, who knows the living and true God. And the fear of God was
in his heart, because he knows, while God is a God of love, but he is also a just judge.
He knows that God means every word he says, and says what he means. God put his fear in Noah's heart. And God moved his heart to respond to his warning. Fear is not a negative emotion that God gave to Noah, but it was a positive wake-up call. It is like a bell, you know. Have you heard a, you know, come near a big bell and suddenly, you know, somebody strikes and suddenly you get shaken up? Well, the warning that God gave to Noah was like that. It meant to be a wake-up call, so that he is mindful of the danger, the approaching danger to his life and the life of his family. It was to a signal to his soul to watchfulness, to sobriety, and to a lifelong action. The second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest prophecy yet unfulfilled in the Bible. And it is also a sorely neglected doctrine in the church today. Not that we do not preach about the second coming of Christ, but there seem to be a lack of the fear of God. So what if the Lord is coming? Somehow that message is not getting through to the heart. As you watch the disasters, as you watch the signs of Christ coming increasing in intensity that are unfolding before our very eyes, does it not cause you to fear the wrath of God and realize that His coming is nigh? Noah was moved with fear when he observed the world around him. He saw the wickedness of men. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. God revealed this to Noah so that he realized the depraved state of mankind, ready for judgment. Their iniquity was full. Right, remember we said the word iniquity comes from the word a bending, a crookedness. Describes an outworking of sin in the life of men. Noah was moved with fear when God revealed the truth to him. He saw the world around him. It was filled with violence. There is a report in the Straits Times, which I've quoted before. Violence cuts across all classes. Spousal abuse, largely men hurting their wives in the privacy of their homes. It says that divorce rates are higher. Violence, family violence is greater, affecting the elderly, the children, the siblings, the husband and or their dates. What happened? How come men cannot control themselves? What has gone wrong? And we are seeing this also in a Christian home. Somehow the knowledge of God is not translated to a meaningful change of heart. We give a mental assent, but there is not an inner conviction to walk with God, to live as a true Christian. What can be done? Well, our text tells us that the Spirit of God moved within the heart of Noah, that he was filled with fear, and by faith he prepared. The truth of God's coming judgment was effectual in his heart. He meditated and he thought about it, and he realized that it is real. Noah took action to prepare for the coming global destruction. What did he do? Well, first thing he did was that he put his house in order. He got ready. God gave to him instructions how to prepare himself for this disaster. He was to build an ark, and it was to be a massive effort. It would take a lifetime, more than 100 years, and it would require him to give his entire attention to the preparation. The bottom line is that this is the only thing that matters, because when the rain comes, this is the only escape. This preparation, the Bible tells us, he did fully following God's instructions. You turn to Genesis 6:22. What does it say there in Genesis 6:22? Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. He did not question God why he should make only one window in the ark. He did not question why is it 3 stories and not 4 stories. Noah exercised a resolute obedience to the task of building the ark by simple faith. He trusted God. Remember, everything was calm and normal. Business was as usual. Noah gave a godly response to the great privilege that God has given to him. By the fear of God, he worked and prepared, whereas the world around him was complacent and oblivious of God's coming judgment. Noah prepared an ark to the saving of his house. The Lord is coming, and we, as Titus 2:14 says, we are a peculiar people. We are a treasured people. We are the privileged people. We are a people entrusted with the message of truth. And so we are without excuse if we perish in the calamity to come. How can we protect ourselves and our families and friends from the temptations and struggles of life? How can we prepare them so that they will all enter the ark, just like Noah's family did? We are to pray and think through with God's word as our blueprint. Noah took God's word seriously, and he prepared according to what God said to him. And so as the minute ticked, Noah prepared. Every minute counts, because there is a preparation that is needful, and every action will finally culminate to their eventual salvation. Thirdly, blessings. By the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. The word condemn means to judge against, or to judge worthy of punishment. Noah, by his submission to God, set himself as an example against the evil and wicked in his generation who refused the truth. And God wants us to do the same, to be determined in our heart to receive the blessings of God by separating ourselves from the debauchery and the evil of this world. Noah, by his submission to God, sets himself as an example against the evil and wicked in his generation who refused God's truth. His obedience to God in the building of the ark and preparing his family was a judgment against the mockers. Remember, we were reading in 2 Peter chapter 3, how the mockers came, the scoffers, they laughed at him. They said, where is the rain? What are you doing? You built this piece of edifice for the museum? What are you doing? Don't you have better things to do in your life? God was pleased to use him. Noah was a witness against the world. And this is the privilege that he has. God chose him to be his witness against the world. That was Noah's blessing. And God wants us also, having been given the truth, to be his witness against the world. God was pleased to use him, to make him a channel of blessing. The world was not worthy of God. It has rebelled against him. And we have said before how the battle will culminate at Armageddon. Who is on the Lord's side? Who will serve the king? God condemned the world. And it was honor in Noah's part to know the truth and to stand for the truth. This was a determination in his heart to live a life cleaving to God, a determination to submit and obey God, and it distinguished him from the people in his generation. The Bible says in Genesis 6 verse 8 and 9, Noah found grace, he found favor in the eyes of God, for Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. Was he sinless? No, he's not sinless. But he obeyed God. Whenever he sinned, he exercised 1 John 1:9. He confessed his sins before God, and the Lord forgave him. Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. Dear brethren, the world continues to focus its effort to build bigger barns and taller buildings. What will save us from this coming judgment? Only faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will save us and our family. Is there a holy submission to God's word in your life? That is the whole point of coming to camp. That we may understand the will of God. That he may give to us a strength to obey and follow him. Fourthly, our hope. And became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Noah passed from the old world to a new world. He was the father of the new world. All of us descended from Noah. All who believed and not perished survived the global flood, but not many, only 8. Noah and his family. There was a global cleansing upon all mankind. There was a global flood of God's judgment that is going to come by fire at his coming. And we have read 2 Peter chapter 3 to tell us the truth. And verse 10 to 13, I would like to repeat them to us. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. We have spoken about all these things. Our inheritance is a new heavens and a new earth, reigning with Christ as his bride, which our Lord will recreate. And the new Jerusalem will come upon us in this new earth, new heaven and new earth, consisting of all the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. As we said last night, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Revelation 21 verse 4. We are a people of hope. Indeed, we ought to be the happiest, the most joyful, the most positive, the most encouraged, the most forward-looking, and the most hope-filled people upon earth. Because we have the Lord to help us. We hope in the Lord. Psalm 39 verse 7. And we want us to hope solidly in the promises of God for His future. We have used 6 R's to help us navigate through our study of the future events. Redemption, a people of hope. Recurrence, signs of the times. Rapture, we shall be changed. Reward, the true riches. Return, history's final war. Rule, the millennium. Reign, eternity. And resolve, the call to action. The theme of our camp is looking for that blessed hope, the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It will be an event that will culminate human history. Jesus says, I come again and will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And the Christian's blessed hope, as you see in your camp forward, is perhaps the most practical truth in the Bible for the development of Christian character and service. Our blessed hope is a higher calling, a nobler motivation for action, for Christian worship, for holiness, for duty, for ministry, for endurance, for consolation. I've attached a set of notes for you, giving you what we ought to do. And we want us to study so that we may be ready. Why is the second coming of Christ such a powerful motive for Christian living and service? Because of the imminence of Christ's coming. He can come anytime. May God make ready a people prepared for His coming. Dear brethren, let us be awakened to the signs of the times. May the truth of God's word convict and convince us, giving to us that strength to reorder our life goals by the fear of God, living a surrendered life and receiving at the end a righteous man's reward by faith, which is eternal life and the opportunity of great rewards that all who follows Christ will receive at His return. May the Lord prepare our hearts. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank Thee for Thy truth. May Thy Spirit come and mightily fill us, that we may understand what Thou wouldst want us to do for Thy own namesake. This I ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And so I've given to you the paper that gives you a summary of what we ought to do. Practical values of doctrine of the second coming of Christ. And I want us to take that home. Right? Having known the truth, God wants us to do something about it. Christian worship. What is it that the Lord wants us to do concerning Christian worship? Well, church attendance. Do not forget to worship the Lord. Because in heaven, we are going to major in worship. Just that we only praise, we only sing, we only give thanks. No more supplication, no more other needs. All our needs will be fulfilled. Christian holiness. The Lord wants us to live a separate life by our, in our earthly walk, in the light of His soon return. The word of God is very clear. And He wants us to mean business for Him. And He wants us to mortify, to put to death the body of sin. He wants us to live righteous and godly, looking for the blessed hope. He wants us to major in Christian holiness. Because God judges us after our sins. And if we live a life like Lot, we are going to lose out a lot when God comes. Purity of life, because we shall see Him at any moment. The Christian duty, not to be ashamed of the Lord, not to be engrossed with the cares of this world. May God keep us from judging one another. Let the Lord be the judge. May disputes be settled, not be settled in pagan courts. May we exercise mutual love one to another. May we be sober and thoughtful, looking for that blessed hope. May we be at peace. May we keep the word of God. May we be careful about our works, what we do. Christian motive for Christian ministry. May we, as a church, as God would lead us, be involved in missionary effort to spread the gospel. May we not labor in vain. May we be winning souls. May we preach and teach the word. May we keep the faith. May we serve God with pastoral fidelity. But this church may go and live, go on from strength to strength. Motive for Christian endurance. How we must guard against fear. Right? Fear always cripples us. Doubts always overwhelm us. Keep us from too much worry. Because the Lord is at hand to help you. Give us patience under persecution. Give us the strength to endure temptation. Help us to rejoice in suffering. Help us to abide in Christ. Help us to hold fast to the Lord. And number six, you need to make a correction to your notes there. Number six is Christian consolation, right? It's endurance there. Please make a correction. Christian consolation. Encouragement in the hour of distress. When you see all these signs proliferating, increasing in intensity, you know what is happening. The world will rock with fear, will quake with fear. But you ought to be encouraged in the world, in the hour of distress. And God give you strength in the hour of weakness and hope in the hour of death. We know that absent in the body is present with the Lord. And finally, consolation in the hour of bereavement. This is what the Lord wants us to do. May the Lord help us to do well and serve Him till He comes. We have been given much privilege in our Lord Jesus Christ. May He empower us to serve Him with greater zeal and strength.